Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021, ladies and gentlemen. And man, we got a lot of great stuff for you. Last hour, we hit on Jason and his wife, Alexia. And Jason Preston is a candidate for the 3rd District for the House of Representatives in the state of Utah. And PrestonForCongress.com is his website. So incredible interview about that. We also talked about this incredible From Facebook to Meta, new name but same problems for the Mark Zuckerberg company. We talked about Pastor, new champions of socialism, realized that Karl Marx had a very deeply held belief in God. True story of the Epoch Times, Karl Marx, the author of Scientific Socialism, once wrote that he knew that he was born to God, but was chosen for hell. Wow. What kind of a statement is that, ladies and gentlemen? Scary stuff, I'll tell you that. But that's what's going on, right? In fact, Karl Marx was literally a cheerleader for the devil. He explained of his research. Wow. It's just hard to understand, right? The culture of canceling everything you don't agree with is at the roots of totalitarianism, is at the roots of violating free speech. Yeah, socialism is a deadly virus, destroying our nation, cancel culture at the center of it all. All right, we have a guest. Her name is Olivia Dawn, and she literally was at the January 6th Capitol event, and she shares her experience about what happened on January the 6th in Washington, D.C. You know, right after the January 6th, well, during January 6th, we had people live on the radio who were at the Capitol. But after that, after it all went down bad, I called a lot of those people and they said, you know what? Nothing went bad for us. We went to the event, came home. It was great. A lot of people didn't even know anything bad happened until later in the news. Other people got caught in the melee. Well, we had a lot of people on explaining their experiences right after the fact. Some people got forced into the Capitol, pushed in. We talked to a girl that got arrested, but then they let her go saying she did nothing wrong. She was at the wrong place at the wrong time. We've had all kinds of evidence, truth tellers, firsthand eyewitnesses, et cetera, on the radio about this. Olivia Dawn continues with her story, her personal event. Her and her mother, Tina Horlocker, were there literally live on January the 6th. Her story starts now.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman continuing with a long parade of incredible speakers on the stage, vendors running around, educating business, doing business with patriotic businesses. You got to dig it. We ought to call it the Patriot Business Alliance or something. It's incredible. There's vendors, there's speakers, and there's incredible interviews coming to Liberty Roundtable Live, as you well know by now. Olivia Dawn is with us, and she went to Washington, D.C., January 6th. Now, Olivia, just so you know context, I have interviewed a lot of people that were literally there on the floor. Literally, I interviewed people that were there live at the event, and then I interviewed people the day or two or three after and got their story. So our audience is fairly caught up on the truth there.
Good.
But you got an interesting story to tell as well, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you so much.
Tell us who you are first and what sent you to D.C.
Absolutely. So my name is Olivia Dawn. I'm the daughter of Tina Horlocker, who is the former chair of the Davis County Republican Party. She's the We Can Act conference chair. She's done a lot of other things and a lot
she
of people.
She is the genius, ladies and gentlemen, behind We Can Act. Let's put, just
She's
put it
amazing.
Out there, right?
And she had wanted to go to D.C. in November to attend a Trump rally there. And we reached out to some friends, and somebody was able to make a donation to make it so that my mom and I were able to travel to D.C. together and attend the rally in November. And when January came around and there was another rally happening January 6th, we were like, oh my gosh, we have to make it happen. And so, you know, wonder of wonder, miracle of miracles, we were able to, again, figure out a way. I mean, we had amazing donors who made it so we could go, because they couldn't make it. They were like, we'll pay for you to go. And so we got to go. So my mom and I were able to be there the day before. Back in November when we had gone, I had wandered the streets a little bit looking at some stuff with a friend of mine, and we actually ran into a crowd of Antifa and got kind of stuck in the middle of them. And it was really kind of scary. We had like umbrellas being shoved at us, and it was
they're crazy.
It was a scary situation.
They're flat out nuts.
And thankfully the police were aware that they were there, and as soon as they realized that we were in the middle of this crowd, they came and they helped escort us back out of the crowd. And all we were doing was trying to get to the Washington Monument, and it was kind of a mess to get there.
And my response to the cops right then would be, you know what, why do I need to get out of this crowd? Why don't you disperse these people so normal people can go about their daily lives? You don't need to rescue me from the crowd. You need to rescue society from these people.
Oh, I completely agree. It was nuts. And so because of that experience, we came into January 6th prepared for that type of thing again, maybe even worse. And we were also warned ahead of time that we were going to potentially have people who were wearing Trump gear or whatever, that were going to be mixed amongst everybody who was rallying.
Now, hold on. So you were told that in advance?
We were told that in advance.
That's very telling, is it not?
Yes, it is.
All right, continue.
So that was something that we were totally aware of. I mean, I didn't even wear a jacket with a hood on it because I was so worried about potentially getting yanked backwards.
I understand.
So we planned our clothing perfectly. Well, when we arrived, we made it over to the Eclipse, which is that lawn right outside of the White House. And there was this really cool stage that was set up, and there was music. I mean, it was a party, and we had to go through a bunch of security. There was, I'm not kidding, there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people flooding the streets all the way up to the Washington Monument. It was amazing, so full, beautiful to see so many patriots.
By the way, so peaceful.
Oh, yes. Okay. Peaceful, and everyone was, like, dancing and jamming, and it was just a party. And we went through security. There were so many.
It is what we dream of when we think of America, people.
Exactly. And it was, I mean, I'm telling you, there was such a level of trust and also a desire to be up near where President Trump was going to be speaking.
Of course.
That people ended up just leaving their bags outside of security because we wanted to get in so bad. And so there was like a huge pile of bags, and everyone's just like, all right, I'm going to trust it's going to be here when I come back.
Wow.
And we just left our bags outside and went in, and were able to hear the president speak. And the president's speech was so moving. It was so liberty and freedom minded. It was patriotic. It moved your heart. It made you just love the country so much more.
Yeah. To the media that insert this idea that it was leading to violence, they're literally committing libel and slander.
Oh yes, absolutely. I recorded a lot of the speech on my phone because I just was loving it so much.
Sure.
And nowhere in my recordings can you hear anything about inciting violence or telling us anything.
Yeah, because it didn't happen.
It didn't.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It did not. And when the speech ended, he actually ended by saying, "Now I will join you. Let us march up Constitution Avenue to the Capitol building to make sure that we peacefully make our voices heard." And that was exactly what he said. He encouraged us all to make sure that our voices were heard, to make sure that we peacefully marched up the street and made everyone aware of our presence. It was a very powerful, calming, but also exhilarating speech. And then from there, we all kind of left the Eclipse and started marching up Pennsylvania Avenue and Constitution Avenue.
And this is you and your mom, you and Tina.
My mom and myself, yes.
Okay.
As well as so many other patriots. I mean, the streets were flooded. There were giant, I mean, like block-long flags, American flags that people were carrying over their heads. And they were a block long. That's not an exaggeration. And so those are going along the street, and people are walking under the flags, they're walking around the flags, they're marching in front and behind these giant flags, and we're all singing, we're chanting USA, we're just having a grand old time. We're loving the fact that we're surrounded by so many other country loving people.
This right now. You're loving liberty, aren't you?
Oh, I truly was, and am, and continue to be.
By the way, lovingliberty.net.
It was absolutely amazing. And so when we finally got to the Capitol, we're walking up, and I don't know how familiar everyone is with the layout of the Capitol, but if you're coming from the west side of Washington, D.C., you're going to pass a reflecting pool.
Yes.
First, and then there's a statue kind of to the north side of that, and then just behind that statue, there's some steps to get onto the actual lawn of the Capitol. And so as we come up to the as we're coming through the parking lot, kind of by the reflecting pool, there's a few signs that are a little more obscene that say, you know, F somebody or whatever. You know, there were a little more signs that...
Yeah, a little graffiti going
on. Yes, exactly.
But again, you wonder who those people are.
Exactly.
And you wonder how they got there, and you wonder what their origins and funding is, and you start to really ask those questions, and you gain real knowledge. But
right,
go ahead.
Right, exactly. And so we kind of noticed this, my mom and I, and we pointed it out to one another, and we were like, well, that's unfortunate, but we, you know, the vast majority of us are not like that, so we're okay. And so we keep going forward, and we get to the statue where everything was, and there's someone who's like, you know, using a megaphone and is like exciting the crowd. And at first we're like, all right, that's good. And then we realize that some of the things that this particular person shouting into this megaphone, they were not saying things that were the most exciting or the most liberty-minded. They were more kind of insightful. And so we were like, okay, that's not the voice. And my mom, in fact, was looking at this person and thinking, wow, this is awesome. And then somebody actually leaned into the two of us and said, that is not the voice you want to listen to. And it was immediately...
Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. We're in the middle of this incredible interview with Olivia. And Olivia Dawn is her name. And she literally was at January 6th, the Capitol event, if you will, where they claim it was an insurrection. And she's basically telling you that they felt the voice. What I mean is that the Holy Ghost telling them, hey, you know what? These people are for real and good, and they felt wonderful. Then when it went all wrong, these people are evil and it went bad. They knew it. They highlighted it. They were there. The interview will continue.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
My brother and two other boys were the ones that got in the car with her, and she was drunk. The road that goes to her house is like really windy, and she was taking that road at 80 to 100 miles per hour, and it hit into the road barriers. Her door flung open. She ran out across the street to get away from it, and the other three boys were trapped in it, and the car exploded. And then when my mom found out about it, she called me at work. I don't care what you have to do, just get up here to the hospital. I parked my car and I went inside, and they took us back to this little room. My mom told me that Jay had been killed, and I lost it. The other people, because they're like, well, you can drink, but just be careful when you drink, you know? So I don't want anything to do with it, because it took my brother away from me.
A public service message from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. First-hand eyewitness at the January 6th Capitol event. Ladies and gentlemen, we had them on right at the time of the event, literally 11 months ago now? Wow, time flies when you're not having fun. I'll tell you that. But anyway, Olivia Dawn continues her narrative. They basically said, hey, they felt great. It was wonderful. It was a party. It was awesome. And then they saw some people grab megaphones and manipulate the audience, the crowd. And it became very sinister. And they felt the difference. The Holy Ghost warned them, this isn't the voice that we all wanted. And this is very direct, firsthand eyewitness evidence of this isn't what the American people were after. this was a group of agent provocateurs that ran this event off the rails and then literally tried to blame it on us, meaning those who were there and even those who were not there. All right? They claimed that that somehow it's us. Well, that's not the voice Olivia Dawn was after, and she highlights in the interview that continues now.
The most exciting or the most liberty-minded, they were more kind of insightful, and so we were like, okay, that's not the voice. And my mom, in fact, was looking at this person and thinking, wow, this is awesome. And then somebody actually leaned into the two of us and said, that is not the voice you want to listen to. And it was immediately like the Spirit of God touched our hearts and knew that that was not where we needed to be listening or focusing on.
Wow. Now, hold on. So this person, you don't know who that was?
I don't. It was just some random person who noticed that we had both kind of looked over
at
there.
Yeah, but they get it and they're right.
Oh, they were. They were so right. And so then, you know, we kind of got out of that spell, right? Because when someone's chanting and shouting and trying to get you excited, it's hard not to get excited. You want to kind of join whatever's happening
yeah,
with that crowd.
Yeah, humans like to mob and riot.
It really is.
That's the natural man coming out.
Exactly.
I get it.
And so then we just decided, okay, we're going to keep going. And we went to the lawn of the Capitol. Now, I lived in Washington, D.C. for a while. I lived in Washington, D.C. for almost an entire year, a couple of years prior in 2017. And so I was very familiar with everything. So I was kind of leading. And at this point, we had made a few friends. So we were kind of walking around with them. We also did have a couple of friends who were already at the Capitol, and we were trying to find them. So we're wandering through the lawn trying to find a spot where we can see and kind of hear, but we didn't want to get too close just because there wasn't a need to. There was a lot of people, and so we just wanted to kind of hang out
and watch, and everybody's milling around.
The
people that I've talked to say there's a lot of people praying and just in clusters talking and enjoying themselves, and just one a wonderful day to be had, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. My mom found this one spot where on the south side, so the south, we're on the west side, but kind of the southern side of the lawn, there's a fence or a stone wall, and on this stone wall there were some steps that led to a platform, so people could stand on the platform and they could see as well as being on the ground. And so we climbed up my mom climbed up on the platform just to get a cool picture of everybody on the lawn, and then afterwards climbed back down. And while she was gone, there were several veterans and men in military garb, whether they were military or not I don't know, but they were, you know, in some sort of military garb. And they all knelt right in front of where myself and two of our friends were and started praying. And it started out as, I think, 15 men, all men who looked very strong. And I don't know why that is a sight that is so surprising, but it is.
And I know why. Because it's a blend that make real men.
It really
godly
is.
Godly men. Men that are strong and understand the defense of things that matter most. Our wives, our children, our sacred honor, but it's also men who have the humility to know who's in charge, and that's Almighty God.
Oh my gosh, I agree with you. And it was
General George-esque, if you will.
Exactly. And it was amazing. It really was kind of like that picture that you see of General George Washington.
Yes.
And so I loved it so much. At first I took a picture, and then I went, I want to actually join in this. I want to be in this prayer. So I moved forward, my friends moved forward, and then my mom arrived, and so she joined as well. And when we kind of got up from this prayer, I realized that there was over 50 people that had all of a sudden joined this prayer, and we were all just kneeling and praying, and it was so beautiful. The feelings that we felt were peace and love and joy, all of these positive things, and this patriotism. Every single person we were with loved America so much. And that's so inspiring to see. And so that quite literally was what we saw. And we had the chance to be able to mingle a little bit more. And then we heard that there was some stuff that was maybe not the most exciting happening at the Capitol. We heard that there was some pepper spray they were spraying.
You're
on.
You're so polite.
Well, we didn't really hear a whole ton. We didn't get a lot of information right away. It was, oh, there's pepper spray. They're spraying on the crowds. And there were some people that had gone up onto the steps of the Capitol on the west side. And they were just on the steps. And those are usually open to the public. Like,
yes.
Those are usually places where
and
you can go.
Nobody would think that they shouldn't be there.
Right, exactly. I mean, having lived in Washington, D.C. for almost almost a year, I sat on those steps often for lunch. Like,
yeah, and I've been there several times and been there literally every time.
Exactly. It's that's where you should be. And so it was very strange to hear that they were spraying pepper spray on everybody. But one of my friends was still a little closer and actually ended up getting some pepper spray on her. And then when she came back down, she was like red-eyed and she's like, I wasn't even that close. I was just on the steps. That's where I've been multiple times. So it was just kind of this crazy thing, and we didn't quite know what was going on. There was rumors that the Capitol Police were not very happy about everyone being there, and so they were maybe not being as polite as they should have been, understanding that they're being paid by taxpayer dollars and everything else. They still weren't being very nice. And so that was all we really heard about.
Yeah, they're kind of rude to the employer, I understand.
Exactly. That's all we heard about. And then when we stood for a while, it was so bitter cold, and there was a wind that kind of started to come through as well. And so after standing on the lawn for a while, we heard some, they're horns, but they're like the horns from the Bible that yep. are made with like bone or horn, like yep, bison horns or something.
Uh-huh.
And they make this amazing sound. And somebody came up to us, I think she was a pastor, and she came up to us and she said, "Isn't that amazing?" And my mom was just commenting on the same thing. She's like, wow, that sound brings such a calming spirit. Because as we were starting to hear about the pepper spray and everything else, we were starting to get a little anxious. I think that like the mood started to change just a little bit from like joy and peace and calm to a little bit anxious. And then we started hearing these horns, and it immediately changed the mood back to calm and peaceful. And so we were like, wow, that's amazing. And this pastor woman came up to us and said, those horns are specifically designed to a frequency that will keep you calm and will bring things together and make things peaceful and happy. And so that was interesting insight from this woman we'd never met, but had just overheard my mom say something. So after a little bit longer, we were very, very cold. A curfew had just been texted out to everybody, and so now we knew something had happened. We weren't sure what. There was no violence. The most we ever saw was pepper spray being sprayed on peaceful attendees who were just on the steps, and so we didn't quite know if there was anything else. As soon as I left the Capitol lawn and got onto Constitution Avenue, I think we walked like a quarter of a block, and my phone started blowing up. Now, before that, I hadn't been able to publish anything on social media.
Yeah, so when I connected with those people live, I was able to get certain people on the streets, and then all of a sudden, communications disappeared for a while, and then it came back.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's the other side of that story.
Yeah, there was a bunch of internet issues that people were having. They were trying to go live on Facebook and were having a really hard time doing that. And so when we finally left the lawn and got onto Constitution Avenue a little ways away from the Capitol, like I said, a quarter of a block, not very long, all of a sudden my phone started blowing up. And I have like my friends who are back in Utah going, please tell me you're safe. Please tell me you're okay. And I'm going, I'm fine. Like, what on earth? So then I talked to one friend who actually ended up calling me, and he explained what the news was already reporting. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that's not at all what we've experienced. And so we immediately went live on Facebook, my mom and I, and we talked about it. We were like, this is what we're
hearing. Hang tight. Quick pause for this Olivia Dunn interview. We'll rewind that just a teeny bit so you get the context on the other side of the break. There's so much going on in the news. This is what I'm talking about. Olivia Dunn and her mother, Tina Horlocker, literally were there at the Capitol, and they're just telling you there was no violence, but they did see a peaceful crowd. They were having a wonderful time, and then they saw agent provocateurs come and try to change the mood, and then some people with some horns came and tried to make it peaceful. Christians were standing around and praying and being peaceful and kind, but the cops were literally hostile. Provocateurs were there, and they could see mood change when certain people advocated their agenda. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a complete betrayal at the Capitol in America, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, and this happened on January the 6th. First-hand experience. There's 14,000 hours of videos that have never been released, but yet they want to prosecute and blame every one of us without evidence, without facts, without the truth. We cannot let them get away with it, ladies and gentlemen. The Olivia Dunn interview continues on LRT in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As the polls open in a select few states across the nation, America is asked once again for the citizens to do their patriotic duty. The one race that is capturing the American people is the gubernatorial race in Virginia. Democrat Terry McAuliffe on Monday.
The main reason, folks, I'm running, I want to build the best education. I want every child to have a world-class education here in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Republican Glenn Youngkin.
Parents will have choice in our public school system. We will not have a political philosophy in the classroom, and on day one, I will ban critical race theory from being in our schools.
Efforts to pressure Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, to express support for President Biden's massive spending bill prompted him to hold a press conference on Monday. The takeaway, don't rush the package and don't link it to the separate partisan infrastructure bill that has Republican support. Manchin says the Build Back Better bill is done with fuzzy math and will cost taxpayers double the advertised price. USA Radio News.
From city streets to back roads. From road warrior to carpooler, there are some things you can always count on. Like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from SimpliSafe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, SimpliSafe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Protect your home and your sleep. Take 30% off a new system at SimpliSafe.com today.
As America faces many problems in country, President Biden and a large portion of his cabinet have left the country. Meeting with world leaders over the weekend, American leaders are now in Scotland discussing the doom and gloom of climate change. Again, an American leader was apologizing for America.
President Biden on Monday warned that climate is an existential threat to human existence as we know it at the United Nations COP26 conference, then apologized for former President Trump's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord.
I guess I shouldn't apologize, but I do apologize for the fact the United States in the last administration pulled out of the Paris Accords and put us sort of behind the eight ball a little bit.
Speaking from Glasgow, Scotland, Biden called for a decade of transformative action to preserve the planet, saying that the science is clear. From the USA Radio News, West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
Game 6 of the World Series is tonight in Houston, Texas. Atlanta leads the series 3-2. USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio reminding you that there is a prayer vigil. A vigil remembering those who died from vaccine. Well, I guess vaccines that aren't safe and effective, where they literally harm and kill people and that kind of stuff. It's happening on November the 4th, Thursday evening, 5 to 7, dress in black. South Temple and State Street in Salt Lake City if you want to go in person. If you want to just have a vigil at your home or with loved ones at your church, please do so all across the country as well, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, serious stuff. We want to remember those who have suffered and died, really at the hands of the regime, because it's being forced, these vaccinations are being forced on us. It would be one thing if people took them willingly, knowingly, and then just felt like, hey, I want to take these vaccines, and then they die. That's one thing. It's a whole nother when people are forced or they lose their job. Anyway, Tracy Skadden and others have put this incredible event together. November 4th, that's this Thursday, 5 to 7 p.m., you can RSVP the word victim to 385-315-0578 or UtahCOVIDVaxVictims@gmail.com. Get involved today, would you please? All right, the interview with Olivia Dawn continues now.
a bunch of internet issues that people were having. They were trying to go live on Facebook and were having a really hard time doing that. And so when we finally left the lawn and got onto Constitution Avenue a little ways away from the Capitol, like I said, a quarter of a block, not very long, all of a sudden my phone started blowing up and I have like my friends who are back in Utah going, please tell me you're safe. Please tell me you're okay. And I'm going, I'm fine. Like, what on earth? So then I talked to one friend who actually ended up calling me, and he explained what the news was already reporting. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that's not at all what we've experienced. And so we immediately went live on Facebook, my mom and I, and we talked about it. We were like, this is what we're hearing from people in Utah, but this is not what we are seeing. We are not seeing this type of behavior. We're not seeing people being shut down or dealing with chaos. It's just not that way here. And so as we're trying to explain that live, we have a couple more people who are talking to us, and they're like, yeah, that we don't know what's happening either. Like, everyone's reporting that there was violence, that someone was shot, but we don't have any idea what's going on. We didn't see anything. And the rest of the night we walked. I mean, my mom and I walked, I don't know, 3 miles to get back to our hotel, walking through the streets. The city was almost completely empty except for the people who were from our crowds. We thought we would run into some Antifa or some protesters of some kind, and we never did. So it was, I mean, altogether, other than running into some police officers who were just standing guard on one of the streets, we really didn't run into anyone. And then that night, as we were all trying to get food, the restaurants were closed early. I mean, it was like next to impossible to get any kind of food. There was one restaurant that stayed open, and they ended up selling out of all the food that they had in their restaurant because they were the only ones that stayed open. Everyone else closed as soon as that curfew was instated, and this one rebel company decided to stay open, and they were like, forget the curfew, we're gonna make money and we're gonna sell to people who are here. I don't think they were even making like a principled stand. They were just like, we want money.
Ladies and gentlemen, Olivia Dawn telling her personal experience.
It was amazing.
The tale of January 6th in Washington, D.C., right?
Yep, exactly.
And Olivia, what did you think when you saw the media kind of come out and say, look, everybody there was a terrorist, everybody was involved in an insurrection, and so on and so forth?
Oh my gosh, that's not at all what I witnessed or experienced. That was not my intention in any capacity. And if anyone says that I was an insurrectionist, they're speaking a bold-faced lie because they have no idea what they're talking about, and they're just repeating what they've been told.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Olivia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Perfect.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Just incredible interviews going on. I mean, all at the We Can Act conference. I mean, it was a stellar conference. It was the first one ever in Salt Lake City as well, and we're hoping to make it an annual event. To do that, though, we'd need support from people all across the country. But I'm telling you right now, it was amazing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that China is plagued with a history of pandemics? Let me say that again because it's riveting. Did you know that China is plagued with a history of pandemics? True story. Stephen Mosher, Population Research Institute, pop.org with the details. COVID-19, believe it or not, is the latest in a long line of deadly epidemics that have come out of China. Genomic analyses have shown that smallpox, the bubonic plague, and multiple deadly influenzas, including the Spanish flu, all actually originated from the communist nation of China. Stephen Mosher with the details in his book. He highlights a lot of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. But it's for good reason that Francis Gaskett, whose book on the Black Death was published in 1908, asserted that China is the great breeding ground of epidemics. Yeah, smallpox, the bubonic plague, and multiple deadly influences, including the Spanish flu, actually all originated in China. It's perhaps fitting that the earliest known epidemic, for which we have archaeological evidence, swept across northeast China 5,000 years ago. It was a precursor of things to come, writes Stephen Mosher. It's a plague village called Hemen, I don't know how to say this, Manga, China, and they say it's circa 3,000 years B.C. And I guess a few years ago they were excavating the site of this Chinese historic village, and Chinese anthropologists discovered a tiny house chalked up with bodies. And they say the village was located in Chinese northeast. I guess it goes from Beijing all the way to the border of Russia. And I guess they had 97 bodies stacked two or three high from these plagues. They believe the deaths were due to a plague. The outbreak doesn't seem to be restricted to this area. In fact, a couple of hundred miles away, they believe that the skeletons from that event were the same. They might have fled one city and went to another to try to escape the deadly plague, but they couldn't escape it, and that's why there's deaths and bones and skeletons that literally relate to the same time period and have the same markings, which are what make them believe it was the plague. Yeah, they both possibly relate to an outbreak of incredible disease. The question is, what disease could have caused it, they might ask. Anyway, LifeSite News published this article. Stephen Mosher continues with it, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Mosher has his newest book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Pandemics. Oh, man. That's just grisly, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It's scary, isn't it? It makes you kind of go, what the heck? Yeah, that's right. But did you know that China's plagued with a history of pandemics? Stephen Mosher, Population Research Institute, pop.org, with that article. And all I'm telling you is that this just goes to show that, wow, folks, now we have Anthony Fauci literally lying to Congress, literally involved in creating gain-of-function research, which ended up being gain-of-function completion of that research, successful, and then somehow it was leaked or intentionally released on the people. And you see the same incubator over again, China. But you see the Americans literally funding it with our own tax dollars and then being lied to by our top doctor, Anthony Fauci. He makes more in government than any other government employee. Even the president of the United States makes less than whacked out Anthony Fauci. This is the kind of stuff, ladies and gentlemen, where we need to double down and call a spade and be truth tellers like nobody's business to hold Fauci and crew to account. This should not be allowed to stand. Rand Paul and others are trying really hard on this, but we need to back them and get very supportive of this. All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use radio station.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We're going to go straight to this next interview. We had on Mike Miller before the We Can Act conference. We had him on also from the We Can Act conference. His interview starts now.
Happy to have you along, my fellow American, Sam Bushman, live from WeCanAct.net. Incredible conference, incredible people. Speakers galore start at noon all day until 8 p.m. The floor is full of good, honest Americans learning about liberty. Vendors across the hall with some very, very unique liberty-loving stuff. I've been having a heyday going to all the booths, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We got Mike Miller with us. We had him on last week. Great gentleman from the border. He works and as a co-founder of Warriors for Ranchers. And Warriors for Ranchers, ladies and gentlemen, really is a group that's designed to help support farmers and ranchers in Texas affected by this belligerent, illegal immigration going on. This out-of-control problem at the border that, I want to be clear, affects everyone in the nation, not just those on the border. You might think it's on the borders, but Joe Biden is busing folks in the middle of the night to everywhere. You had a girl, I think it was in Montana, that just got raped by one of them. It's getting out of control, folks, and it will affect you. Mike Miller, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
You're speaking today, coming up, right?
Yes, sir, 12:30. You don't want to miss it.
All right, and you're going to tell the tale like nobody's business, right?
I am going to tell the tale like nobody's business. I'm going to get loud. I'm going to be ticked off. And I want these people to see it, feel it, and hear it. And they're going to hear it because I brought 60 slides. And we're going to be showing them the truth. It's one thing when people talk the truth. These things that we're talking about at the border are so phenomenal, so huge. They're huge, like Trump would say. They're huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge. And the detail.
They're big league.
The amount of robberies, theft, vehicle bailouts. Just like you're talking about rape on the border, 3,000% of these people crossing our borders are sex offenders. 3,000% more of them. We have hundreds of thousands of people getting ready to come across. 80,000 in Tapachula, Mexico. These guys have a gentleman with them who is a dual citizenship guy. I don't remember his name. But he's telling us he's at war with Texas. He's at war with America. These guys are coming armed. Just last night in Matamoros, Mexico, there was a shooting. There's bodies everywhere. Suburban completely shot up. I've got the pictures right here. I'll show you. And people need to know that's like 1 minute from the Texas border. They're breaching our border, Sam.
It is an assault. Tell me how La Raza fits in.
A La Raza. Yeah, go ahead and fill me on this.
La Raza is kind of a Mexican term.
Okay.
That kind of means that you stole our land and we're taking it back.
Sure.
Now, I know the critics would say, Sam, you've misunderstood La Raza. You don't have a clue. You're ignorant. They'll tell you that, but I'm telling you that's what it is.
You bet. So we did a conference in Medina County, Texas, right? And some of those folks came and they were waving the Mexican flag out on the highway. They were on the city easement. They knew where they could stand. But they were saying the same thing, that Texas belonged to them.
Right.
And we had folks,
See, that's the La Raza principle in effect right there.
Right, right. So we had some folks standing up. We had a candidate running for Texas Land Commissioner, Weston Martinez. We had George Rodriguez. You might know him. He's in the same industry. El Conservador Radio, telling the truth down there in Texas. And they got to have some words with this guy. They're like, you're standing on Texas soil. You're an American citizen, but you're going to shame our flag and shame our people because of a fight that took place way long ago.
Yeah,
they still want to
know his response?
What's his response?
Yes, that's right. It's my duty.
Right. They act like that, for sure.
Yeah, that's my duty.
They hated on us. They we ended up having to get security and have the law enforcement come just to make sure people were safe.
That's why they love the term Mexican-American.
Right, right.
Right. I say set aside all the racial differences.
Right.
Let's realize we're all God's children. Why don't we be unhyphenated Americans?
I love it. You know, I tell people all the time, they said, Mike, you're talking about the border crisis, but don't you care about your fellow person? And I'm like, you know what? How can you call yourself a man of God if you don't care about the people of Mexico? But, Sam, you know this. The cartel, they're historical organizations. And the people in Mexico look at them like Robin Hood. They rob from the rich and they feed the poor. And just like when we go to gas stations here in the U.S., they have like ball caps that say FBI, CIA, law enforcement, Air Force, Army, you know. In Mexico, they have the names of the cartel, Sinaloa, El Golfo, and they wear those hats proud because some of those cartel members feed their families and bring them money. But it's a wicked system that needs to change. And I pray, if it's in God's will, that the cartel can start doing good things and good deeds and not continuing to enjoy murdering people and cutting them up.
It's serious business, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get some updates from the border of what's happening. Is it even changing? It's escalating, isn't it?
It is escalating. On the Texas state border, there is a sheriff in Brackettville County by the name of Brad Cole. The county attorney's name is Brent Smith. They are actually looking to deputize, I believe, 10 men. They're going to be well vetted. You hear a lot of talk about the militia groups and folks in Texas that are rising up that want to stand. So they're actually providing ranch security. And so these folks that are well-vetted, well-trained people, these farmers and ranchers' properties are being ran through. We've even had an incident where, you know, our dogs are our fur babies, right? So these people had two dogs that were trying to guard their house. The illegal immigrants got those dogs inside of a truck in 100-degree weather. They shut the doors, and their two pets died of heat exhaustion. So they're not just killing people on the border. They're killing their fur babies.
It's all done by design, though, to intimidate, right?
It is. It is. They like to call. So, as you know, Sam, they put a bounty on me. They called my house. They threatened my family. And they do this to Tim Foley from Arizona Border Force Recon. And I've had a chat with Tim. And they want it to be silenced. They don't want people to know that they're smuggling children, smuggling drugs. Human smuggling is a $22 million a day business. So just like I said, is it slowing down? No. They've shot rounds at our National Guard, 40 rounds in Roma, Texas. Last night, the video, the pictures I'm going to show you in the video, it sounds like Mogadishu. The AK-47s, 50 cal Barretts firing at cars.
Yeah, so people need to understand these cartels are highly organized. They're virtually militarized.
They are. And I want people to know that they have as good or better equipment than our United States military. They have UHF, VHF, LTE jammers that they're wearing, so they could jam your cell phone. They have a signal. They have night vision goggles that are about $10,000 a pair they're wearing. They're in 5.11 military gear. They're armed with the best AR platform and 50 cal weapons. They have armored vehicles, turrets, and they seized ammo that was due to Texas. They apprehended a vehicle that had 7 million rounds of ammo in it. So, yes, not good when they're getting our ammo.
You know, we're in trouble on this, though, because most Americans are oblivious. Joe and crew and Kamala Harris and others going headlong into this thing. All the protests from conservatives being simply ignored, not counting media like myself and a few others. We're in trouble, though. I think Americans aren't going to wake up to this until their every neighborhood's infiltrated.
Absolutely. And, Sam, I think they're just waiting for an incident, too. They're shooting across at the Americans, and our guys haven't responded back. But, you know, as soon as we do, the ALCU and all these different organizations that are looking to have open borders and enforce the laws and file lawsuits against anybody they can, they have a plan to try to get these open borders and to continue. But I'm going to keep you posted. I would love to come back on and give you more updates in the next upcoming weeks. But I want to thank you, Sam, for the opportunities you've given me to amplify my voice.
We'll do it. I want to focus on one last thing before I let you fly. I know you mentioned human trafficking last time we talked as one of the biggest issues because, hey, it's better than drugs that you can resell and reset. I mean, it's sick to talk about, right?
Yes, sir.
But I know that's escalating, too. Is that going to be a keynote in your speech, too?
That will be a keynote in my speech. I'm going to grab the heartstrings of the people through the children. Because when you're hurting children, Sam, they decapitated an infant in the Rio Grande River. It's time for people to get ticked off. We're finding babies headless in the Rio Grande River. It happened. And young children that are drowning, it's going to be in my speech.
And sadly, the ones that die are almost spared from a life of perpetual abusive sex and perversion slavery.
You're absolutely right.
So I'm not saying it's good to die. I'm pro-life. But what I'm saying is when you think about the fate for some of these people, you're almost grateful some were spared in a way by their deaths.
You're right, Sam, because when they're trying to manufacture adrenochrome from a child, they have to beat these kids, Sam. And in order to get the epinephrine high enough in their bloodstream to withdraw the blood, I want people to know that is sick. It's taking place. I think Hollywood's covering it up. And why is Epstein Island being so recognized? It's such a dangerous place. And why did it, you know, I don't think Epstein killed himself. I think it was done by design as well. This is organized terrorism in America, Sam, and I'm here to fight for it.
Well, I wonder if Epstein's still alive somewhere.
That's a rumor that people are asking.
And I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just saying that, you know what, here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know and we can't trust them. That's what you need to know.
That's absolutely correct.
We don't know and we can't trust them. That's what you need to know. And that's from the top to the bottom, sadly, in many jurisdictions.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely 100% correct.
All right, give me your website.
WarriorsForRanchers.com. We're currently trying to raise $120,000 for a mission to fight against this, and we've done well. We're starting to raise some funds. You can donate at WarriorsForRanchers.com, and you can also go to Venmo at Warriors for Ranchers. After my speech, I'm going to be at my booth. I'd love to meet all you guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. There he goes, Mike Miller, doing a phenomenal job. Stay there, Mike. I want to talk to you for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Riveting reality check from the border. It's sad as all get out. It's discouraging on one hand. It's really depressing because you just think, oh, my gosh, America's headed for civil war. America's headed for betrayal. America's headed for all kinds of negative stuff. Rape and pillage and plunder and climate disaster and natural and man-made disasters everywhere. And that's all true, folks. Let's be very clear. That's all true. And let's not understate it or pretend it isn't reality, because it is. When we turn our backs on God, ladies and gentlemen, we will reap the whirlwind. We will reap the wrath of God Almighty. Make no mistake about that. However, there is hope, because God is still in his heavens. And America is a blessed nation. And if we as a people repent and turn to him, he will protect us and heal our land. Let's make no mistake about that. So, yes, there's a very dire situation on one hand. On the other hand, there's a very bright future for those who keep the commandments of God, for those who are followers of Christ, for those who believe in the Savior Jesus Christ as our true and real Savior. There are answers. There is hope. There is opportunity. There is happiness and peace and prosperity ahead for the righteous, for those who keep the commandments of God. We just need to make sure we're on the right side of this discussion. But, man, when you hear Mike Miller on the border, you realize how brutal the situation really is. These people are pure evil. And the worst of it all, ladies and gentlemen, is they are partnering with our government and the religious organizations in a trifecta. Religious groups, the United States government, in bed with the sex trafficking slaves of humans around the world cartels. We got an epic battle on our hands, ladies and gentlemen, but we stand with the Prince of Peace. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally today. Every penny will be used to help grow our presence in the media and become the greatest truth tellers in modern history. That's who we are. That's what we want to do. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We declare God is in his heavens and he loves us. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.